This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To proceed today, inshallah, we will have the last chapter in the book of Al-Umdah, which was written by Imam Ibn Qudama, who died in the year 620 after Hijrah as a Hanbali primer on fiqh. The last book was the Kitab al-Shahadat, but it is under the segment of Al-Qada wa-Shahadat, Judiciary and Testimonies, so under the general segment of the Judiciary. Today's chapter was the chapter on Acknowledgement or Confession, that is Bab al-Iqrar, chapter on Acknowledgement / Confession, because Iqrar means both Acknowledgement and Confession. الإمام ابن قدامة رحمه الله تعالى said وإذا أقر المكلف الحر الرشيد والصحيح المختار بحق أخذ به. If a free person who is rashid, that means competent in managing money, مكلف and not terminally ill, voluntarily acknowledges some right as in a debt to others, he or she will be responsible for it. He or she will be responsible for it. Confession, basically, is the supreme evidence. We say in Arabic, al-qarar sayyidul adilla. Confession is the supreme evidence. Confession is the supreme evidence. That does not mean that confession always supersedes the usual evidences, the admissible evidences in court. Confession is the supreme evidence as far as the person that is making the confession. But as far as others, confession is called a restricted, qualified evidence. It is an intransitive evidence. We call al-bayyina hujjatun mutaaddiya, والإقرار حجة قاصرة. البينة, that is admissible evidences in court, are considered transitive evidences. الإقرار, on the other hand, which is confession / acknowledgement, is intransitive or restricted evidence. So الإقرار applies to you only. So if you were partners in crime and you make إقرار, the iqrar will not apply to your partner. It will apply to you only. Now, to establish the guilt against your partner, we need bayyina. Also, when you acknowledge something and you have a partner, that acknowledgement will apply to you only, does not apply to your partner. If you are the heir of someone and you acknowledge that this person had another heir, that acknowledgement will not apply to the other heirs. It will apply to you only. Like if you are an heir to your father and you acknowledge that your father had another child that no one knew of, but you acknowledge that this is your brother, your father's child, that acknowledgement will apply to you only. It does not apply to anyone else. Yeah, so that is why we call it اقرار حجة قاصرة, intransitive evidence, because it applies only to المقر, the person who is making the acknowledgement or the confession. But when it, as far as that person is concerned, الاقرار سيد الأدلة, confession is the supreme evidence, or acknowledgement is the supreme evidence. The Sheikh said, وإذا قر المكلف الحر, if a free person who is المكلف الحر الرشيد, الرشيد means competent in managing money. الرشد comes from what? Prudence. Rashid is prudent, but it is not, it is in particular about money, because the person who is safih, foolish in managing money, if he confessed to a crime, whatever crime, murder, like fornication, whatever crime, he will be liable for that, but he will not be liable for monetary transactions because he is foolish in monetary transaction, deserving to be interdicted, hajr, deserving of hajr or interdiction. Okay. And then he said, mukallaf. Mukallaf means what? Taklif is when you are liable and responsible. Mukallaf is both liable and, liable and authorized. Liable is like responsible. So liable slash responsible and authorized. If you are mukallaf, you're authorized to perform the takalif al-shara'iyya and you get rewarded for them, and you are liable. And you are liable for your errors. Of course, if you're not mukallaf because you are a child, you could still get rewarded for your fasting and your prayers and so on. If you are a discerning child, you'll be still rewarded. Even if you're not a discerning child, someone took you to Hajj, for instance, you get rewarded for that. But in terms of liability, you know, that's authorization. But in terms of liability, you have to be baligh to be liable, according to the majority. And, you know, we've talked about the Hanbalis, the discerning child, as far as the Hanbalis are concerned before. So mukallaf, liable, and not terminally ill, because if you are terminally ill, your acknowledgement may not be always accepted. Certain acknowledgements will be accepted. We will talk about this in some detail later, inshallah. So now you are free, competent, prudent, liable, not terminally ill. And as-sahih means what? As-sahih means well. But if you translate as-sahih to well, that would not be an adequate translation. And that is always the problem with translation. Like, would you want to be faithful to the letter of the original language? You will have to translate as-sahih as well. But is that what it means in this context? No. Because what if you are unwell, but you are not terminally ill? Will we accept your acknowledgement? Of course. It will not be accepted only from the terminally ill. Anyway, so if you acknowledge some right, as in a debt to others, you will be responsible for it. Okay, so what if you are a child, for instance? This will come, or if it does not come, what if you're a discerning child, or you were not free? You were a slave or a discerning child, you know, during those times, there were still slaves. So what if you acknowledge your participation in a financial transaction that you were authorized to conduct? Would that acknowledgement be accepted? Yes, it should be accepted. It is limited to, you know, your acknowledging of your participation, your particular participation in a financial transaction that you were authorized to conduct. Then the Shaykh said, وَمَنْ أَقَرَّ بِدَرَاهِمَا ثُمَّ سَكَتَ سُكُوتًا يُمْكِنُهُ الْكَلَامُ فِيهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ زُيُوفًا أَوْ صِغَارًا أَوْ مُؤَجَّلَةً لَزِمَتْهُ جِيَادًا وَافِيَةً حَالَّةً وَإِنْ وَصَفَهَا بِذَلِكَ مُتَّصِلًا بِإِقْرَارِهِ لَزِمَتْهُ كَذَلِكَ. If someone acknowledges owing a certain number of dirhams, that's silver currency, but then stays silent for a period of time in which he could have spoken, and then says counterfeit or small or deferred, he will immediately be liable for the specified number of genuine and whole dirhams. If, however, he describes them with these qualities in direct connection with his acknowledgement, he will be liable for what he acknowledged as he described it. Okay, so what is he saying here? Like, let's say, yes, I owe Chernu 5 dirhams. I owe Chernu 5, counterfeit dollars is different from counterfeit dirhams. Counterfeit dirhams still had some value. They were mixed with lead. Counterfeit dirhams, silver coins, but they were mixed with lead. Counterfeit dollars have no value whatsoever. But anyway, so I owe Chernu 5 dirhams, okay? And then I stay silent for a period that is uncustomary for people to, take your breath or something, or cough or something. And then I say, but they were deferred. It's a deferred debt. It's not, immediate one. It's not due, deferred. Or I say, but they were counterfeit. Or I would say they were small dirhams. During their time, the small dirham was like about 2/3 of the size of the real dirham. It was getting a little bit more difficult to have gold and silver currency. So they would actually make smaller dirhams, counterfeit dirhams, and they would make something called fulus that were metal, but not dirhams whatsoever, not silver coins whatsoever. So in this case, what is going to happen? I will be responsible for my acknowledgement. Any exclusion, any addition after this, after my silence, will not be taken, will not be accepted. So I will be responsible for the specified number of dirhams that I spoke of first, and they'll be due, and they'll be original, and they will be the regular size, whatever, Now, if I say I owe Chernu 5 dirhams that are counterfeit, that's my acknowledgement, then I will be liable for 5 dirhams that are counterfeit. Well, if Chernu wants to establish a bayina, evidence that I owe him 5 dirhams that are not counterfeit, please go ahead, and then you will get your 5 dirhams that are not counterfeit. But if it is about my iqrar, my acknowledgement, then whatever I acknowledge will be taken. But at the same time, it has to be in connection, to the original statement. Any exclusion has to be in connection to the original statement. I owe, and it is better, to avoid any trouble in court, to say I owe Chernu 5 counterfeit dirhams. That is better than to say, I owe Chernu 5 dirhams that are counterfeit. Because you could have like a sort of an episode of cough or something, and then he stop for a time that the judge would consider to be unreasonable. But anyway, that's what it is. Now, certainly, he also said voluntarily, right? I'm sorry. Did we did not mention this, the previous paragraph. In the previous paragraph, he said voluntarily, because any acknowledgement under duress is unaccepted, is invalid. Any acknowledgement under duress, if you torture people to confess, that confession will not be accepted. It is invalid. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانِ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. This was reported by Ibn Majah. It would be a hadith. This hadith, just to tell you that not everything is in Bukhari and Muslim. This was just reported by Ibn Majah. the weakest of the six collections is Ibn Majah. Of course, Bukhari and Muslim will come first, and then Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i in this particular order. Some people would put Tirmidhi above Abu Dawood, but in the area of fiqh in particular, Abu Dawood is above Tirmidhi. Tirmidhi is above Abu Dawood in the area of heart softeners and etiquettes, akhlaq and adab and manners and stuff like this. But Abu Dawood, and particularly in the area of fiqh, is above Tirmidhi. So Bukhari and Muslim, and then Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, and then Ibn Majah. It's a different category by itself. They would not actually count it among the six collections earlier, but then it became an established sort of norm among the muhaddithin to consider Ibn Majah the sixth of them. But this particular hadith that is reported by Ibn Majah is reported by Bayhaqi also and others. Bayhaqi came later, of course. But this particular hadith is considered half of the Sharia. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانُ وَمُسْتَكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah had forgiven, or how did I translate it? Pardoned, forgiven, pardoned, yes. Allah has pardoned my people for my sake. تَجَاوَزَ لِي. And, you know, I'm sorry I did not, in the commentary, that's missing from the translation. And I will fix it in the third edition, inshallah. Because it is an important edition. It's important. In Allah, you know, certainly it has variant reports. And in some of the reports, it's that li is not there. But in this particular report that I cited here in Arabic, I should have translated it as Allah has pardoned my people for my sake. For my sake. For their mistakes, their forgetfulness, and for what they do or they have done under duress. Consider it to be half of the Sharia because it is certainly a very important aspect and very important principle of the Sharia. So whatever you do out of forgetfulness, out of error, or under duress, you are forgiven. And Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said that error in aqidah should not be any different from error in fiqh, which was an enormous position because, you know, by his time people were making takfir of each other on matters of aqidah because they did not allow for that hadith to apply to al-usul or al-aqa'id. They would only apply it in al-furu' or in the law, not in creed. So he confirmed that it will apply not only to al-furu' but will also apply to creed. So in Allah تَجَوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأَ وَالنِّسْيَانُ وَمُسْتَكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ should be general. Allah has pardoned my people for my sake, for their mistake, their forgetfulness, and for what they have done under duress. It applies everywhere. Now, it would not apply to the principles of aqidah because they are not subject to error. I have a long discussion about this, you know, the accountability of non-Muslims and when are they accountable. But in general, the principles of aqidah, you cannot be Muslim and deny resurrection. You know, it just wouldn't work. You cannot be Muslim and deny the encompassing eternal knowledge of God. It wouldn't work. And this hadith would not apply, of course. But in the other matters of aqidah that are not established through certainty, then this hadith would apply as well. It's a great hadith. Okay. We're done also with the paragraph on silence. If you stay silent and then you make an exclusion or qualification, it will not be accepted. If you say it in connection to the original statement, it will be accepted. If the Sheikh then says, وَإِنْ إِسْتَثْنَى مِمَّا أَقَرَّ بِهِ أَقَلَّ مِنْ نِصْفِهِ مُتَّصِلًا بِهِ صَحَّ إِسْتِثْنَاؤُ وَإِنْ فَصَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بِسُكُوتٍ يُمْكِنُهُ الْكَلَامُ فِيهِ أَوْ بِكَلَامٍ أَجْنَبِي أَوْ إِسْتَثْنَى أَكْثَرَ مِنْ نِصْفِهِ أَوْ مِنْ غَيْرِ جِنْسِهِ لَزِمَهُ كُلُّ. If he excludes from his acknowledgement less than half of it in connection with his acknowledgement, his exception will be valid. But if he separates them, the acknowledgement and the exclusion, by a period of silence in which he could have spoken, or by irrelevant speech, or if he excludes more than half of what he acknowledges, or something from a different genus, he will be liable for the entire acknowledgement. Okay. I owe Sherino 100 dirhams. Save one goat. How much do I owe Sherino? 100 dirhams. He cannot exclude one goat from 100 dirhams. He can exclude, something of the same genus, not something of a different genus. Okay, so I owe Sherino 100 dirhams. Except or 60 or less, I owe Sherino 100 dirhams except 60 dirhams, if that makes sense. Is that okay? No, because he excluded more than half of the 100, 60, so it wouldn't count, it wouldn't work. I say here in the commentary, because it's not linguistically customary or sound to exclude more than one half of what was acknowledged. So, I acknowledge that this room belongs to Sherino, except 2/3 of it. The whole room would belong to Sherino. What do you mean, except 2/3? If you really wanted to say that, you should have said, I acknowledge that Sherino owns 1/3 of this room. But to say, I acknowledge that Sherino owns this room, except 2/3, that doesn't make sense. So since it doesn't make sense, we will presume that you had second thoughts while you were making the acknowledgement, that you were acknowledging that he owns the room, but then you had second thoughts and said, except 2/3. Because had you really meant it, you wouldn't have said that at all. You would have said something different, that he owns 1/3 of the room. Like when you say 100 dirhams except one goat. Okay. So listithna, which is exclusion, there are certain principles here that should be applied. Then the Sheikh said, وَمَنْ قَالَ لَهُ عَلَيَّ دَرَاهِمْ ثُمَّ قَالَ وَدِيعَ لَمْ يُقْبَلْ قَوْلُهُ وَإِنْ قَالَ لَهُ عِنْدِي ثُمَّ قَالَ وَدِيعَ قُبِلَ قَوْلُهُ. Whoever says, for him, upon me, is X number of dirhams, and then says, as a deposit for safekeeping, his second statement will not be accepted. If he says, for him, with me, not upon me. The first one is alayya, and the second is indi. Alayya means upon me. The second means with me. For him, with me, instead of upon me. And then says, as a deposit for safekeeping, his second statement will be accepted. These are what? Semantics. Because to say alayya, and then to say it's a deposit for safekeeping does not make sense. Because a deposit for safekeeping, what if it is lost? Are you liable for it?
Depends.
Okay, so when are you liable?
From your end, or not being careful, or not being prudent.
Okay.
That's when you are liable.
all of this is tafrit, which is basically negligence. What's the other one? Ta'addi, you stole it. I mean, or you ruined it. You used it and you crashed the car. For instance, if you leave my car, yeah. So, okay, so that would not be, so it's not suitable to say alayya, upon me, because the wadi'a is indi, with me. He left it with me. So it's not upon me. If I borrowed money from you, then it is upon me, because I am responsible to give it back to you no matter what happened to that money. Okay, but these are semantics. So Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that whatever is customary should take precedence over semantics. You know, what is customary? If a lay person makes a statement, don't hold him to the grammar, or the rules of grammar. Hold him to what is customary. Is it expected of a lay person to say that, to mean this by this statement? Is it expected of a lay person to mean this by this statement? He was extremely concerned with the viability and the vitality of the Sharia. And if we say to lay people that you are, you're going to be held liable for the rules of grammar, that would look unfair to most of them. And then in the court system, you know, whatever it is that they acknowledged, it would be certainly, I mean, if you invoke grammar and understanding the speech of lay people, it will do them injustice because they don't follow the rules of grammar. And they are not linguists to know the subtle differences in semantics. Okay. And then this became sort of a legitimate position in the madhab that has been reported ever since from Sheikh Taqiyuddin, rahimahullah. Then the Sheikh says, وَمَنْ أَقَرَّ بِدَرَاهِمَ وَمَنْ أَقَرَّ بِدَرَاهِمَ فَأَقَلُّ مَا يَلْزَمُهُ ثَلَاثَ إِلَّا أَنْ يُصَدِّقَهُ الْمُقِرُّ أو المقر له إلا أن يصدقه المقر له في أقل منها. Whoever acknowledges owing dirhams, the least that he will be liable for is three, unless the one who is owed the money agrees to a lesser amount. Why? Because in Arabic, there are two different plurals. If you're talking about two, a pair, you're not using the customary plural for more than two. You're using what is called musanna. That is plural for two in particular. So you say rajul, rajulan, rijal. A man, rajul. Two men, rajulan. Three or more men, rijal. So the musanna, although of course sometimes there are exceptions, but in general, this is what it is. So if you say, I owe him darahim, that is the plural, you can't say they are two dirhams, because two dirhams would have been, I owe him dirhamain. Okay. It's dirhamain. It's correct. But I'm just laughing because you're bringing an Arabic grammar in English statements. Dirhamain, dirhamain. It's fine. So I owe him dirhamain because it's maf'ul bihi. Yeah. So I owe him two dirhams. That would have been I owe him dirhamain, not darahim. Then the Sheikh says, وَمَنْ أَقَرَّ بِشَيْءٍ مُجْمَلْ قُبِلَ تَفْسِيرُهُ بِمَا يَحْتَمِلُهُ. If one acknowledges owing an unidentified item, his explanation of it will be accepted as long as it is plausible. يحتمله, as long as it is plausible. So I say here, if he admits that he owes someone money, any amount of money will be plausible. If you say, I owe him a garment, whatever, you know, you whatever will be called a garment will be a plausible explanation, no matter how cheap it is. Why? Because he didn't establish evidence against you. It is, we're only going by your acknowledgement. So you are the one entitled to interpreting your own acknowledgement, because we don't have evidence against you. So whatever it is you acknowledge, but you will be entitled to interpreting your acknowledgement as long as your interpretation is plausible. So no matter how cheap it is, if it is, if we can call this a garment, we'll call this a garment. But you say, I owe him a garment, and basically, I give him like a piece of cloth or something. That's not a garment, you know, so we're not accepted. Okay. Then the Shaykh talks about acknowledgement by children, and he says, فَصْلٌ وَلَا يُقْبَلُ إِقْرَارُ غَيْرِ الْمُكَلَّفِ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا الْمَأْذُونَ لَهُ مِنَ الصِّبْيَانِ فِي التَّصَرُّفِ فِي قَدْرِ مَا أُذِنَ لَهُ. And we did talk about this already. Subsection, the acknowledgement by one who is not mukallaf, liable, and authorized, is not accepted regarding anything except in the case of a discerning child who is allowed to conduct a particular business transaction. His acknowledgement is valid concerning the particular transaction he is permitted to conduct. Then he talks about acknowledgement by fools, safih. Safih, we said, is imprudent, foolish, particularly when it comes to financial transactions. Okay, so وَإِنْ أَقَرَّ السَّفِيهُ بِحَدٍ أَوْ قِصَاصٍ أَوْ طَلَاقٍ أُخِذَ بِهِ الْمَفْرُوضِ وَإِنْ أَقَرَّ بِمَالٍ لَمْ يُقْبَلْ إِقْرَارُهُ. If a foolish person confesses to a crime that is punishable by had or subject to qisas, he will be held liable. If he acknowledges owing money, his acknowledgement will not be accepted. Because if you're interdicted, your acknowledgement is not accepted. Also, the safih that is interdicted, the safih that has been interdicted for the creditors, for the interest of the creditors, you owe money to a lot of people. They came and asked the judge. Remember, in financial transactions, we had a separate chapter on hajj, interdiction. That is basically when the judge denies you the power to dispose of your money. You're under interdiction at this point. Many creditors came. You failed to pay them back. You're not able to dispose of your money. And we sell all of your properties to pay off your creditors. So now the creditors came and asked for interdiction. And they proved that you owe them money. So then we will, certainly sometimes the judge can convince them, give him a little bit of time to figure out how he can collect the money. But he will give him some respite for a limited time, then interdiction will be issued. The verdict of interdiction will be issued by the judge. Then you go and sort of agree with someone or collude with someone and tell him, go to the judge and claim that I owe you money. Claim that I owe you money. So let us say I owe the grocery store $100 and I owe the furniture store $200. And I owe the landlord $400, and I only have $500. So we will combine this, and it will be 700. And we will distribute the 500 among them. Everyone will get a percentage that is commensurate with how much they are owed. Let us say you go and you tell Abu Ayyub, why don't you go to court and claim that I owe you $2,000? Okay. If we, and I will acknowledge that I owe you this money, and then I can give you $50. Then what will happen is the person who is owed $2,000, everybody here is owed $700. Person who is owed $2,000 will get 2/3 of the 500 and walk away with it. And we will squeeze all the actual creditors into that 200 that are left of the 500. So we will not accept your acknowledgement if you are Safi, basically because we want to protect the interests of the, and under interdiction in this case, because we want to protect the interests of the creditors. Now, if you are actually owed $2,000 and you establish a bayina, you present a bayina that you are owed this money, of course, you will be added to the rest of the creditors, but with a bayina, not merely my acknowledgement. And then the sheikh says, we'll move now to Iqrar al-Marid. Or maybe we come back to Iqrar al-Marid after a short break, inshallah. Which statement? Is this disambiguation, clarification, or... Because we'll keep the questions for the until the end. Haven't we said 200 times that any statement about slavery, we will not translate because there is no slavery, so it is irrelevant knowledge at this point. If you want me to translate, you can translate it. Likewise is the ruling concerning the acknowledgement of the slave. إلا أنه يتعلق بذمته يتبع به بعد العتق إلا أن يكون مأذونا له في التجارة فصح إقراره في قدر ما أذن له. So the acknowledgement of the slave, it will basically, he will be liable for it, and he will be after emancipation, people can press charges against them on the basis of his acknowledgement after his emancipation. إلا أن يكون مأذونا له في التجارة, except if he is given permission to transact, you know, for particular transactions or trade. فصح إقراره في قدر ما أذن له. Then his acknowledgement concerning the part, whatever he's authorized to conduct, whatever transactions he's authorized to conduct, will be valid. Yes. So inshallah, we'll stop here, and then we will return in 5 minutes.